And so I'm in this police cell, which is probably 10 spaces all the way around. There's no daylight. There's nothing. You've got people kicking off either side of you, kicking and screaming and blah, blah, blah. I just thought...
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips, how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Harvey and this is Life, Passion and Business. So the intro today you have just heard is from a podcast that was the very first podcast that I launched on Life, Passion and Business. And it's by a gentleman called Simon Jordan, who is an old friend of the show, and he was even on our 50th program. And I thought to go back to that podcast and put it out today. And there's a couple of reasons why I'm doing this. One of them is that I had a session booked today with a new guest, and they've had to cancel because of operational difficulties. And normally I would have other shows in stock for this situation, but I didn't. For various reasons. So I thought, well, hang on a minute. I've been wanting to share some of the early shows into the podcast again, and I think it's actually a lot of value. The conversation with Simon was very inspiring. And because it was recorded over a year ago, when there wasn't a lot of reach on this podcast, I would imagine not many people have actually heard it. It's worth saying that Simon has gone on from this podcast to launch Five Things Clear, which is about removing litter from the world. And that project is growing arms and legs and has representations all over the world. So please follow up with Simon at the end of this podcast, because he is an amazing man and doing amazing stuff. I said this was recorded in January 18, so I hope you enjoy the conversation with Simon Jordan. My guest today is Simon Jordan.
I think I've always been passionate. Yeah, I've always loved life. I've always been, you know, I would have been one of these people, if left alone in a room, would be poking things, be trying things out. I've always been like that, I suppose.
In his late 20s, was on something of a death wish. Simon weighed in at some 23 stone. He was binge eating, drinking and on various drugs. And then 18 months later, having made a decision to change his life and turn it around, he weighed in at just 13 stone and finished the London Marathon in 3 hours and 45 minutes. Jumping forward into his late 30s, Simon, now in the corporate world, made the decision to leave and start his own marketing company. And within 1 year, he was working for international clients and getting invitations to speak at various gigs around the world. Throughout Simon's life, he's always taken massive action and achieved big results. And that has given him work with companies like Nike, Coca-Cola, Porsche, Sky TV, and many, many others. Simon currently runs a branding business and design consultancy, working with coaches and other consultants all over the globe. He lives in North Wales on a farm with his dogs, and when he's having fun, he's normally climbing mountains or running up hills. It's very clear that Simon had a journey going on here. In his early career, he was very much chasing for results, and then something happened and he went to a place of surrender. This conversation is how that impacted on his business and on his life. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Simon Jordan. So thank you. Thank you for taking the time today, Simon, to be with me. It's really great to be sitting down having a conversation with you today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
So I've known Simon. I've known you for a while, and we've been Facebook friends for a while, and we've connected on various bits and pieces. So it's been really nice to actually formalize this. And when I started this idea of life, passion and business, you were the first person that came to mind.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Thank you very much.
It might have been something to do with the fact that you climbed, you went up to Everest Base Camp. And I'm like, gosh, that is a man that actually knows what he wants to do with his life. So tell me, how did we get to here, Simon? How did you get to be the Simon Jordan now?
God. A lot of pain, a lot of broken fingernails and stuff. No, it's, to be honest, it is a journey. You know, it's just an old adage, but life is a journey. And it is, and bloody hell, it's a hard one sometimes. Okay. Well, I was in, I mean, I've essentially worked for myself since I was 21. I mean, I'm 49 at the end, next week, actually. So coming in my 50th year. But where I am today, I've been doing this for 8-9 years now. And I basically worked my backside off. I was down south, and I'd just gone through a divorce and bankruptcy as well. Oh, bloody mad. But I was working. I was a consultant for Sky TV. And I thought, you know, I was asked to go in for 2 months, ended up staying for 2 years, and thought, yeah, it's great. The company's, you know, just great fun to work with, brilliant team. I thought, but I want to create my own baby. I knew I wanted to do something. So basically I left there with bugger all clients, bugger all money. And my friends thought I was actually mad. So I made the jump. And literally the first year I went bonkers too. I thought, God, I've really got to not hit the ground running, but just hit it with like a rocket. So I went to every networking do there was available, really. You know, if there was someone opening an envelope, I would have been there. I think someone once said about me. Mm-hmm. Following year, I thought, okay, well, how can I spread my message more? How can I serve more? I don't think I probably said that then. Back then it would have been, how can I get more money in? Mm-hmm. And I decided to set up simonjordan.tv. I also set up Simon Jordan Radio Show, Simon Jordan Blog. It was, God, I mean, it was like, you know, the ego is landed kind of thing. But, it, you know, you had to do that because if, you know, no one else was going to shout out about you, no one else was going to bang the drum. So I set simonjordan.tv up and at the end of April of that year. And then within 7 months, I was basically doing little, because it was an office bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I was doing little 5-minute, 10-minute videos of, you know, how you can change your marketing or this kind of stuff. So every week. And, it, you know, they weren't getting masses of views compared to the millions of views you get now. Even going back, looking at them now, some of them have only got like 1,000 odd views, but they worked. And I got picked up by a lady in Texas, and she asked me to come over and speak at in San Diego, which was great. So this is all within 7 months. And from there, it really exploded. I was picking up clients from all over the States, Canada, all over Europe, all over UK. And it was amazing just from doing something regularly. Okay, so that was then, and that was very much me. I was always wearing a pinstripe suit. That was my brand. So and I'd always worked with big brands. Mm-hmm. But I thought, well, this is a personal brand. So this is quite different. So working on a personal brand. So I really learned how to do that. I really immersed myself in the world. I went over to study with a guy called Joel Com in Denver, Colorado, of how to do YouTube videos and all this kind of stuff and internet marketing and, you know, what the hell was it and how do you make money online and blah, blah, blah. And essentially it's been a big learning curve, a huge learning curve, as every day is, really. And I got to the stage where, you know, I'd gone through a lot of relationships. I mean, I'd been married for 13 years and just, you know, it all sort of fell apart. And building the business and just really struggling, to be honest, really, really struggling. You know, always chasing the dollar, always seeing what other people are doing, thinking, oh, I should be doing that and putting on webinars or doing live events, and they're all relatively successful in their own way, but it just, you know, it never really felt whole. It always felt, right, that one's finished, what's the next one?
So you were chasing?
Always, yeah, exactly, chasing all the time. 6 years ago or 7 years ago, I had, I was involved with a car crash. It wasn't a big one at all. I mean, the car was a write-off, but long and short of it, I put my back out, went to see a guy, and he said, "Wow, your blood pressure is really high." In a nutshell, they worked out, "Wow, you've got an aneurysm," which could have been fatal. Had an operation on that. Still wasn't really getting it, you know. So it was a whack on the head from the universe saying, "You need to listen up." And just, you know, stress. You know, another failed relationship. You know, I moved to France, which failed spectacularly. I was trying to set up a business over there, blah, blah, blah. Just sort of failure after failure. And I've spoken about this on Facebook. And
I have to stop you there. I have never seen you as a failure.
Well,
I followed you for a long time. I mean, I don't know how long I've known you probably, well, I mean, obviously there was a connection with children. So I've known you since, for that connection.
Yeah, because my kids live up with you. Yeah.
Yeah, and that has to be 7 or 8 years getting on for, I would have thought.
Well,
and I've seen you in that thing, and I would never have said you were a failure in that time.
Well, failure is too big a word. Failure is, I don't see failing as, I see it as learning. You know, it's not a failure as in, you know, it's a different way of looking at it. But I mean, I also don't, I don't publish a lot of stuff online because I don't immerse myself in the negativity at all. You know, if I'm having a bad day, I'll keep it to myself. You know, I don't put it out there for sympathy and that kind of stuff because, to be honest, when you put stuff out there, it stays out there. And I think it's not good for the profile. It's not good for you either, but we'll probably come back onto that in another matter. So, but all these different things, but all learning. And essentially, last year was the year it all changed around. So I've been chasing the dollar, doing this, stressed, you know, not really happy. In fact, not joyful. I would say not joyful. Mm. 2 years ago, in fact, 3 years this year, my mum passed away. So I was living in France. She passed away suddenly. None of us were expecting. I'm one of five. I left France. That relationship completely fell apart. The business fell apart. Blah, blah, blah. It all fell apart, but it was perfect. Then in March last year, my ex-partner of that time, this is big, and I haven't shared this with her, so this is a first. She had me arrested, and I was like, I've never been arrested before. You know, I've never been involved with the police, apart from maybe charity stuff.
Mouth drop. My mouth open here. Huh?
it was. But you know what, Paul? It was beautiful. Because it was the universe saying, this is now, I've knocked on your door enough times, I've tapped you on the head, now I'm going to hit you with a great big bit of 3x2. So she accused me, you don't need to know why, it was ridiculous. She was just very upset, very angry. She was trying to get back at me in any way, shape or form. And I remember I was just about to take the dog for a walk. The police cars came down the drive in a van. I'm like, well, I've risen it because we had the house for sale. And because I was basically there because my mum had passed, we had a big farmhouse. I was there as sort of the housekeeper, really, looking after the place. And they turned up and I thought they were going to view the house. And I said, yes, can I help you? And they said, yeah, are you Simon Jordan? I went, yes. And they said, right, we're arresting you on charge of blah. And I'm like, are you in kidding me? I said, serious? And I was like, is this a wind up? And they came in, they took, you know, computers and all this kind of stuff. I was like, this is just madness. And it was just horrible. I thought this is mad. So they basically cart me off to the police station, and they take everything off you that you can, you know, like you see in the films. They take anything you can harm yourself with.
Yeah.
And so I'm in this police cell, which is probably 10 spaces all the way around. There's no daylight. There's nothing. You've got people kicking off either side of you. Kicking and screaming and blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to be fine. There's nothing I can do. It's total surrender. There's nothing I can do. I didn't know how long I was going to be in there. And I went through a wave of getting quite scared of not knowing. But I knew that, you know, what she accused me of, I was fine because not in a million years would I do anything like that. And I just thought, this is madness. This is utter madness. This is her being really angry. Mm. And I forgive her for it because, you know, in her own pain, she thought, well, how can I get out? How can I lash out? Okay, well, I'll try this, which is ridiculous, you know, and it's actually what she's done is illegal. But you know what? I don't want to continue to be in that fight. What's the point? You know, I could say, well, I'm going to get my own back and she could be arrested for what she's done and, you know, defamation of character, blah, blah, blah. But what's the point of, you know, if you get revenge, revenge means you're staying in the war. And I don't want that. So within that cell, all I could do was stand, sit, sleep, or go to the toilet. And that was it. And I remember I had this polystyrene cup. I remember just with my nails sort of just carving out little flowers on it, thinking I've got, there's nothing I can do. And in that silence, I just had to completely surrender. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, Paul, everything has just gone, wow. And I remember we were in the pub, so I was let out. I didn't know when I was going to be let out. You know, I was you know, sat in the interview room, went through everything, and I said, guys, this is mad. You know, you're accusing me of putting stuff out there online, and I said, I've written about this. I know, you know, what you put on out there stays out there. So, you know, I work online all the time. So I said, this is ridiculous. So, She basically accused me of putting horrible stuff out there about her. That's not me. It's not my bag. So anyway, I was released. No charges. Absolutely fine. It was just her trying to be. And the police officer didn't actually say, "Would you want us to go after her now?" As I said, I thought, "No, I'm not interested in that." But it was such a beautiful awakening, albeit scary and painful, because I was completely out of it, just had no control. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, I know, I don't think I know. That's the problem we all have, is we think we are in control. We are in control of our breathing to some extent, you know, unless we get some kind of disease, you know, we can do certain things. But in the big scheme of things, we are not in control at all. Mm. Mm. You know, the universe has our path mapped out already. You know, whether you believe in the divine, God, Buddha, Allah, whoever, it all comes down to, you know, we are all on the same path. We're all energy. We are all connected. Everything is connected. Even the coffee cup next to me. We're all connected on the subatomic level. We are all just molecules of energy. So we're all connected. But yes. From that day on, you know, I was financially, I wasn't in a good place, because I'd come back from France. I pretty much spent all my money being over there supporting where I was and all that kind of stuff. I'd paused my marketing business, so I'd stopped working with clients, really. Came back here with really nothing and had to build it up again, start again. Luckily, because I'd done all that networking way back when, I still had those connections and managed to pick it up again. But I just thought, God, if the house sells now, I'm stuffed. I've got no money. I can't really support myself at the moment. But as I just thought, yeah, but that's coming from a place of fear. It's coming from a place of lack, worry, stress. And I thought, again, I've just got to surrender. I've just got to put my arms up and go, just help me be the best I can be. Help me serve. And this is the difference. People say, you know, they look at a new client, great, how much money I can get out of them. But I really look at, well, how can I serve them better? How can I serve the world better? How can I be of service better? And again, not in a religious sense. Sorry, Paul. Go on.
So you've moved from a place of hustle and chasing to a place of just service and openness.
Yeah. And once I came into that arena of surrender, of beauty, of love, of joy, because happiness is fleeting, joy is deep.
Yeah.
Everything has turned around. My business has exploded in a good way. The house sold to a fantastic couple. They came to see me. We had showed them around. And great. And I said, well, so where are you living now? So, well, we're renting a place up at Arran, which is up in the mountains overlooking the sea. I went, oh, right, okay, well, who you rent it from? We had a chat about that. And I said, so you're going to be leaving there? And I didn't want to be in town. I've always wanted to be, you know, since I've been back, I love the isolation. I like dipping into civilization, but I like coming back. Anyway, they said, well, come and have a look. So I had a look around. I thought, oh, my God, it's everything I wanted. Everything I dreamed about. So essentially three buildings. One is an office, which I've turned, it's a big office. I mean, you could easily fit six people in here. And there's another part of that is a gym. So I've got my own gym in here, running machine, bike, punch bag, the lot. And you've got two other buildings, which, I've got a little cottage where I'll stay in, open fire. It's fantastic. And it's a third of an acre. There are no neighbors. I have 360-degree views of the sea, the islands, and the mountains. And I came back from there with tears in my eyes. And I was just thinking, thank you. I cannot believe this. But I knew it was perfect, because I just knew, I completely put all my trust in the universe and the divine, that it would all happen. And it did. The same day, on the 15th of March, 2017, when it all fell apart, that I knew I would be okay. And that is the thing. Because we come from a lack of fear, or a place of fear, a place of lack. Well, I want this. Well, if you want it, you're coming from a place of you don't have it already. So think about what you want, how it would feel. This was sort of getting the law of attraction here. How you would feel when you have it, and then detach yourself from it. And, you know, think of, if I don't get it, it's not a problem. And when I look at how I used to be with clients, I'm like, oh, my God, well, I'm finishing this client now. When's the next one going to come along, and what's happening with there? I just thought, you know what? The universe provides. Just shut up, relax, and just know and come from a place of love and just feel of, wow. Now, I remember this morning, going back, I used to wake up. I mean, I've got loads. Look at my work in progress board. It's chock-a-block. There's not much space on there. What I'm doing, my own things, my charity, everything else, the trips I've got, the mad stuff, challenges I've got planned this year. But I've got so many clients on. And before, but oh my God, well, I'm all just stressing about it. And now, well, I woke up this morning thinking, wow, because I've got, I work with a lot of clients in Australia. I normally speak to them early in the morning, 6-7 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, how lucky am I that I have all these clients? How lucky am I that I can serve them, that I can, because I work with coaches and consultants, that I can work with them to help them expand their reach so that they attract the right people for them so that they can serve the best that they can be. And they're going to pass that on. So I just see me as a conduit that using my knowledge and what I've learned, that I'm passing that on to them so that they can then go on and serve better. So it's just a ripple effect. And that's how I see I am. And ever since then, there's no problem with money flowing in. It flows out quite well as well. but, even going to Everest Base Camp, I wouldn't have thought, my God, I mean, that was a very expensive trip. Once you bought all the gear, you're probably close to $5,000. But you know what? It was fine. And I've earned that back, and it's not a problem. I've got, I was in my 50th year this year. I've got, looking at my wall planner, I've got 3 ultra marathons. The biggest is a 50 miler. I've got big triathlon this year. I've got the London Marathon. I've got another marathon. I'm going to trekking to the highest mountain in North Africa. All this kind of stuff. And it's just, and I'm not stressing about it. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be fit enough. I know I will be. I know.
Okay. So let's stop there. How did you get that fit? What happened here? Because from what I understand, you weren't fit for quite a long time. Yeah. And something shifted in that one, because, clearly you are now on a different path than where you were. Yeah. Is fitness part of that path?
You've been listening to Paul Harvey speaking with Simon Jordan. And we're going to return to that show in just a moment. I just wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that Life, Passion and Business is a weekly podcast. We're going to be bringing you fantastic interviews and shows every Tuesday. So don't forget to drop by the website, sign up for details, and we'll let you know who's coming, what's been before, and any freebies they might be offering. Now, let's return to the show.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I want to be the best I can be in all different areas, health, fitness, right, money, relationships, all of that. I'm now in a new relationship which came about just beautifully, and the connection is just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Even how we've sort of come across disagreements together, how we've sorted it out is just totally unlike anything I've ever had before. Amazing. And I think, wow, this is the time. And again, it's all happened perfectly. And how we came together was perfect. So yeah, in terms of fitness, absolutely. I don't subscribe to sort of middle-aged spread and just thinking, oh, here we go. So I'm training. Yeah, I've got my first race on the 4th of February. It's a mini mountain marathon, which is going to be a laugh. I've got various different things coming. I'm actually off to Lanzarote for a week to do some training over there, which is going to be nice, in the sun and running up the mountains there. So all that kind of stuff. I look at going away before, I was thinking, oh my God, I can't go away. I need to earn money. Blah, blah, blah. You know what? I'm going to do it. The flight's out there, like 100 quid. you can hire a car for like 80 quid. And the place I'm staying, actually, is my partner's actually running a retreat out there. So I've said, well, I'll tell you what. Because it's a women-only retreat, I'll just come out and hang around in the background. I won't have anything to do with you guys. But I'll just come and sit as a training. But it's just everything happens perfectly. Fitness is a big part of that. So there was a stage when I'm in my late 20s, I was 23 stone, which is about 380-odd pounds.
Wow.
I drink, drugs and all the rest of it. And I turned that around. And in 18 months, weighing 183 pounds, 13 stone, finished the London Marathon, 3 hours 45, and that was that was 20 years ago. So now it's just, I want to be fit. I'm part of a running club, and I see the guys, maybe a bit younger than me, running unbelievable distances. A guy I know, you ran a 200 mile ultra marathon last year. Mm-hmm. He then did the Ring of Fire, which I'm doing part of this year, which is a 134-mile race over 3 days. He's done the Pentathlon Ultra last year as well, all with a cracked sternum. And oh, my God, he's done that? Well, what's my problem? And a lot of it is mindset.
Yes.
And again, belief in you, and just know that you're going to be okay.
Mindset's a big thing here, isn't it? That's the common thread for all of this, isn't it? In a way,
absolutely. Just believing, but also trusting. Just trusting. So many people come, as I said, they come from a place of lack, and yet we all have to pay the bills. I do. I've got pretty big outgoings, but I know it's all going to be okay. And just to completely relax back into it. If you think about the idea came from a friend of mine, Marion Campbell, who met up for lunch back last year in town in London. And think of the universe as a river. We're all in the river, whether you like it or not. But some of us are in the wrong boat and of our own choosing. Like, oh, we want to be in that boat. And some of us are paddling back upstream. We're causing ripples. We're causing distortion in the water. Bits are breaking off the boat. And this is all sort of a metaphor for life. You know, it's our health. We're problems. We're hitting other boats as they're coming downstream. We're angry. I want to be going this way. You know what? You don't have control. Just relax back into it and everything will happen. Because when you shift your energy, everything shifts with you. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. I put this on social media. I don't put everything on social media because my private life is my private life. But I went to have a therapy session, about a 3-hour session last Friday, not because anything was wrong, but because I want to be the best I can be and what I've got planned for me, for everything, really. I wanted to delve in there. I wanted to go into the well. And so I had an amazing session with this guy, called Andrew Wallace, who's... he's a wizard. He really is amazing. Very, very successful businessman. Has been the CEO of so many companies. You know, very successful. And he just goes into businesses, helps them, but he helps people personally as well. And we did some work, and really interesting. I came away with that nothing's in control. You've just got to relax back into it, which I already knew. And he said, you're on the right path already. And I went there because I thought, I know I'm on the cusp of something here. The book, my second book I'm writing, explores that. And it was amazing. And since then, he's obviously done some deep energy work on me. Probably people listening to this thinking, God, this Simon's a real hippie. Yeah, maybe I am. I don't care. But I could see, you know, I've gone through some really dips and dives and highs of emotion as well. And that's just the energy changing. And today it was, wow, I could really feel it. You know, it's fantastic now. Unless you know about that, it's pretty difficult to understand. But again, we are all energy, and energy shifts, it changes, it moves, it flows like a river. And you know, when you're, they can photograph energy. A thing called Carillion photography. And you know, when you're angry or stressed, the colors change. You know, you think of red as angry, things like that. But when you're calm, you're flowing. I mean, I did Tai Chi years ago, and it's a beautiful martial art, and it's all about flow. And when you stand, when you bring the chi up, you hold your body in a very flexible way. There's no tenseness, so everything flows. If you think of like a hose pipe, if you put a kink in it, the bloody water won't come out. And I've got a hose pipe which does just that every time, like bloody thing. But that's it. When we're angry, we're restricting ourselves. When we're stressed, we're restricting ourselves. When we're coming from a place of lack, fear, we're restricting ourselves. So how can you get calm? What can you do to just breathe? Because you are restricting flow within your body, within the air, in your lungs, all that kind of stuff. You're also restricting the flow of what's coming to you.
Yeah.
And we are the boulders in the water. We're swimming upstream. We're paddling upstream, whatever we're doing. And that's the problem. We just need to sit back and go, everything's going to be okay. Now, not in a way, because there'll be people listening to this going, oh, well, you know, that's just ridiculous. You can't just do that. Well, no, you can.
You can trust, but you can also, you know, put the right things in place, can't you? Trust.
Absolutely. I'm not just talking about.
The manifestors of this world that manifest by sitting on their ass thinking about it. And it does require action to kind of complete the complete the circle.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to be moving forward. I mean, I know what I want. You know, I'm writing this book now, which is now taking about 3 years, and I stopped it, and I've come back to it now. The energy is right now, and I feel, yep, now's the right time. So I've
started. So how do you know? That's a good question. You said, I know what I want. And my experience is a lot of people, and I put myself on that one, most of the time don't actually know what they want.
Well, yeah, that's – well, okay. This week, I don't know how long you've got for this interview. But.
No, we have. I mean, I've got another 10 or 15 minutes or so. But, okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm just curious because you said I know what I want. So it just triggers me to go, like, well, how do you know? How do you know that?
Well, okay, because we're not all in control, I just feel what's right and I go towards that. And if, you know what, if the energy changes, I might be nearing the finishing the book. And if suddenly something shifts, I'll stop it. Because if it's not going to be right, just listening in. So it's coming from a place of clarity, okay? I've been thinking about, well, it's all coming from a place of service, okay? So I'm coming from a place of love. I'm not coming from a place of, right, I'm going to write this book because it's going to be a bestseller. And I don't believe in all that nonsense anyway, you know, Amazon bestseller. Because that's all coming from a place of ego. I'm coming from a place of love, and I want to put this together, this book, so it's going to help a lot of people. And I see from the back of that, I'll do a lot of speaking gigs. I'll do touring or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it will be brilliant. And I see the energy in that rather than pounds in the bank. The money comes automatically. When you're coming from a place of service, the money flows with it because it's all about flow. So how do I know what I want? Because I'm coming from a place of clarity. And people don't get that clarity because, one, they're not silent in terms of they're always filling their day with noise, with social media, with whatever. I mean, I live, as I said before, literally it's up in the mountain. And if I stop talking now, all I'd hear is the wind and the clock ticking, and that's it. You know, I don't have music on all the time. I love my music. I've got a guitar here. I like, you know, but there's times I just sit in silence. And within that place, that's where you get clarity. I also don't fill my body with loads of sugar, caffeine. Saying that, I've had 3 coffees today because I went to a charity breakfast this morning. And what happens when you fill your body with stuff, with you know, bad food, all that kind of stuff, you become disconnected. Because caffeine, sugars, you know, a lot of dairy or whatever, your body's not clean and it becomes disconnected. Because, you know, you get the big highs. If you eat a lot of sugary products, you get the big highs, the spikes, and you get the big plummets, which you're then tired. So you're – and I've been there. I was diagnosed as depressed. And it was down to food because when I'm tired, I just feel awful. And here's a little hint for you. A handful of cashew nuts every day has the same equivalent of niacin as a Prozac tablet. And it just – it's brilliant. So there's really good stuff in there. And some people say, oh, they're fattening. Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, if you're eating loads of bloody Mars bars at the same time, yes, they will. as a calorie-controlled diet, it's fine. Anyway, get off an exercise. That's the best.
So the Simon Jordan that started this journey, was he passionate? Was he passionate?
I think I've always been passionate. Yeah, I've always loved life. I've always been, you know, I would have been one of these people who – if left alone in a room, would be poking things, be trying things out. I've always been like that, I suppose. I'm the youngest of 5, so I was the, you know, I had to shout the loudest, eat the fastest. Just that's me, you know. And I don't like being tired.
What's the difference between? See, this is life, passion, and business, and the whole thing is about how people take that energy, that passionate thing they have, and apply it to their life and their business. And I can see that you have, and you've done it in a way through, you've done it through surrender in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still doing the same stuff. I'm still doing my marketing and branding for coaches. I'm working on a deeper level with them now. I set up the charity last year, 5 Things Clear, which just was the easiest thing ever. That just came to me. It was basically about picking up 5 bits of litter a day, and that went global within 2 months. And that was phenomenal. It's just listening. This is a classic example. You know, people say, you know, you ask me, how do I know what I want? Well, I was through a chain of events, seeing an injured seabird with plastic around it, taking it to the vets. It died. Seeing a video of a whale having its stomach opened and all this plastic in there, to being on another beach, which is a big surfers beach, seeing lots of people walk off it. And me walking, I think, well, why are these people? They're enjoying the view, enjoying the beach, but they're not picking up the stuff as they leave the beach. Why not? And I just picked up things, and it was like a download. It just went, you know, five things clear. And I put a tweet, an Instagram message out. I created a new account that evening, and within 2 months, it went global. And it's phenomenal. I'm working with the RSPCA and the World Wildlife Trust this Saturday, and we're doing a big beach clean locally, which is phenomenal. I mean, that happens so seamlessly, so easily. That's a typical example of being in flow.
You're now bringing your marketing skills and things to that project, which is again doing more good. I mean, and it's such on the zeitgeist at the moment, isn't it? Because I mean, everyone's now talking about plastic.
Oh yeah, well we have to. I want more. I mean, I'm not coming from a place of, oh, I want it all to be about me. I don't care if, you know, I want other people to take on board this. You know, I'm going to be working with schools to set up eco clubs that they'll run. I mean, it's all part of the bigger plan.
Well, the reality is, Simon, unless we don't know about it, we're going to be eating the bloody stuff, aren't we? If we're not already,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, passionate. It's already, yeah.
That's where it all comes from, just being passionate. But again, when you have good food inside you, I mean, not everyone is affected by sugar. I am, you know, what I put in my body affects me. But when you feel connected, you feel that passion. You know, when you're sleeping well, you're hydrating well. It's all the important things. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes it well. You know, I mean, I don't want to say I'm a Ferrari, but if you've got a racing car or a sports car and you put crap in the engine, it's not going to run very well. So look after what you do. And it just, you know, it's difficult to have a still mind if it's flooded with sugar and chemicals and stuff like that. It's being a place of grounded and connection. It's all about connection and flow.
So going back to go back to Everest Base Camp again. How did that come about? Because it's like, you know, it's like that seemed to come from nowhere. You were talking about doing something on Facebook and suddenly you're going to Everest Base Camp. It's like, whoa, where did that come from?
Well, it's just a friend I've known for a while. He runs a company called Mountains in Mind. Shout out to Darren Hunt, himself and his partner, Claire. They run a brilliant company called Mountains in Mind. My brother, I was going to go off and climb Kilimanjaro early last year or the year before. I couldn't do it because I was over in France setting up a business, so it wasn't a good time. And this trip came up. I thought, yeah, I just went for it. I didn't know if I could afford it when I said I could, but I just knew it would happen. And then, you know, I could easily afford it when the trip came up. And it was amazing. And I'm now booked to go with Darren and a small group of people to Morocco to climb the Atlas Mountains in 4 months' time. Yeah, wow. It just came up and it was an amazing trip. It was 16 days of trekking. We were there for 3 weeks in total. And amazing, absolutely amazing. Altitude was a weird thing to deal with. But brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
In what way is it weird to deal with?
Oh, well... If anyone has ever taken LSD and they know what the mind does, when you're at altitude, 3 o'clock in the morning and your body is struggling to breathe and your mind just, it's like someone's dumped the entire contents of Google in your head, thrown some monkeys and clowns at the same time. Oh, and some kittens. It is just poor. It is horrible. And you're thinking, am I going mad here? And then when you come down for breakfast, everyone's the same. Everyone's like, yeah, what the hell's going on? But you then can take some medicine, tablets called Dimox, which helps you. It makes the body slightly more acidic, which tricks the body, and you just get over the altitude a lot easier. But it's really weird, very, very weird indeed. And those are the few struggles, but overall, amazing. I was fit enough for it. I've been doing a lot of training. So physically, it was fine. It was tiring because the long days and you're trekking and it's, you know, the climbs you're doing are, you know, amazing. And but the views are absolutely spectacular. I remember one day we're coming through this valley and it's part of the ice valley. You can see where the glaciers have cut it out. So we're walking up and there's rivers, beautiful, crystal blue, freezing cold. There's ice, you know, through this river. To our right, there is, you know, sort of a little hill, really. To our left, there's mountains over 27,000 feet. And it felt like we're walking through Mount Olympus with the gods looking down on us. It was absolutely spectacular. You know, there's different weather systems up there. And they're right there. You literally walk 10 minutes and you're touching the side of this mountain. And it just phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it. So it was just, spectacular. I remember the first day we actually saw Everest. I was in tears. I was just overcome with emotion because we'd all worked so hard to get there. All the training, all the exercise, blah, blah. And we finally went up. Then Darren, the bugger, was filming it. And we walked up and he said, "Tom, just because they have these religious monuments called stupas." And he said, "Just go to the right. And you don't walk to the right. And you walk around to the left-hand side." If anyone's been to Nepal, they'll know that. And so anyway, so we'll come around this side. I said, "No, I need to go around that side." "You just come here," it said. And he went, "There she is. There's Sagarmatha. And that's the name of Everest." And there she was in the distance. And I was just, "Oh my God, that's it. That's the holy mountain." And it was just beautiful. And I saw it as almost as a pilgrimage as well, going to see holy, you know, the Mother Mountain. Just spectacular. They're just the magnificence. And also, you're in somewhere where you feel totally connected. There's no traffic. You get the helicopters coming past, picking people on the mountain who's struggling. But there's no cars. There's no outside influence, apart from people, yaks and donkeys, and that's it. And it's just beautiful. 16 days of just one foot in front of the other. It was a time, and it was great connection and with our fellow trekkers. There was only a small group, 8 people. Just beautiful. And I can't wait to the next trip. And then after that, there'll be something else. And for me, it's just, it's, you know, all these challenges of these ultra marathons, London marathons. It's pushing myself not to show the world, "Oh, look how good I am." It's for me. It's purely for me, because it's just how I feel, how I can overcome these things. What's it like running into the night, which I've heard is bloody horrible. You know, when you're feeling exhausted. But I went on a 15-mile run the other day. Schoolboy error. I only took water with me. I was thinking, what is the matter? I've been running for a long time now, 20 years. I know what to do. I've just taken water with me. It was cold. So no, I didn't take any energy tablets. There was nothing in the water. There was no snacks. So I got to mile 11 and I was just like, "Oh, I'm done. I'm burnt out." So yeah, so it was all good. It wasn't then, but just how you feel, how you overcome that, what you learn about yourself, your body, you know, it's amazing. So yeah, so that's how it came about. Paul, it just came up and I booked on and went for it. And I will at some time be putting the podcast out. I did a series of videos. I wrote a journal every day. So sometime I will put it out.
It'll be lovely to see that, because I could hear in your voice the connection with that place.
Yeah.
I just hear you talking about it. And I think, you know, and I also remember some of the recordings you put out, some of the video you put out at the time. And it was enthralling to watch your daily posts when you could get connection to do that.
Well, here's another funny thing. If anyone from a phone company in the UK is listening to this, how come on Everest Base Camp in the middle of the Himalayas, I can get full signal using the I'm in Wales. About 1,000 foot up, if that, no signal at all. And I heard something about a month before. They said, "Oh, well, we can't do it, you see, because there's big mountains." It's like, no, there aren't. I'm in the Himalayas. So anyway, so I said a little poke at the telecoms company.
I suspect part of that is because the amount of people that go to Everest Base Camp is huge. Mm-hmm. And the amount of people that come to your mountains is not.
Yeah, but we're using old technology. They're installing all new technology.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
The thing. That's our thing. So anyway, that was a little poke. That was a little moan. But yeah, the signal was amazing.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you, Simon, that you would like to say?
Nothing really. I suppose, you know, if I was going to leave one bit of advice, is just come from a place of love. And what I mean by that is do you really love yourself? Or are you abusing yourself in terms of, you know, relationships, your self-talk, your what you're putting in your body to medicate, you know, the pain, or just to get through another day? Because when you truly love yourself, and it's not an egotistical thing, because when you fall in love with you, the world will follow suit. You know, when I didn't love myself, I was attracting the wrong clients, the wrong relationships, the wrong friendships, all that kind of stuff, because certain types of energy attract other kinds of energy. It's like if you have tuning forks in a room full of tuning forks and you ping one, the other one that resonates is the one that's the same on the same wavelength. Same with energy. Yeah. So if you're angry all the time, you'll attract similar kind of people. So when you're coming from a place of love, you know, you look after yourself better. You give yourself time to be in silence. You become a happier person because you look. So essentially just come from a place of that and work out what does that mean to you. You won't then put up with stuff. You know, you'll tell people to go away or whatever language you want to use. It makes you serve better, be better, everything. You know, if you want to be fitter, if you're coming from a place of love, you'll love yourself and think, well, I don't want to be overweight anymore. I want to be better. I want to be healthier. I want to think better. I'm going to stop putting stuff in my body. I'm going to set up a different business so I can, whatever it might be, come from a place of love.
That's good advice.
So there you go.
That's good. Now, there's nothing that's perfect, isn't it? There's nothing more that can be added to that, really.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how would they do so?
Carrier Pigeon. Well, for my coaching sort of branding business, it's simonjordan.com. You can follow me on One Planet, One Place. We'll go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/one. So the O-N-E, One Planet, One Place. That's on there. I mean, you'll probably put the links on the page.
I will do anyway, but it's just nice for you to say them. And your charity is called Five Things Clear.
So look for the hashtag number five, Things Clear. So Five Things Clear. Facebook page, Instagram account. I'm not on Twitter on that. I am on Twitter, my other stuff, which is The Simon Jordan. In fact, The Simon Jordan across everything, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I don't really do Twitter anymore. I don't see the deep enough of connections. So there you go. I hope that helps.
So thank you. So thank you, Simon. Thank you for taking the time out to be with me today, because it's been lovely to hear your story. And clearly you are a person that is living life with passion.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you for how you're showing up in the world and putting this out. You know, it's brilliant.
Great. And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest from 2018, Simon Jordan. As I said in the podcast, Simon has launched a project called Five Things Clear. It's all about removing litter from the environment. So please search out Five Things Clear and get involved, because we all need to get rid of that plastic. If you want to connect with Simon, his details will be found on the podcast page at lifepassionandbusiness.com. So what's happening going forward? Well, I have some interviews planned, as always. I have a third generation livestock farmer coming onto the show soon. And I'll also be attending the Change Your World conference in Inverness this weekend. And there'll be some great speakers there and some generally amazing people around me. So I'm thinking maybe I'll try and grab some interviews while I'm there, and who knows. So that's it for this show. I hope you are discovering your own passion and bringing it to life in your work or business. And if not, then keep listening. And if you are, get in touch. Anyway, thank you so much for your time and attention, and I will catch you later.